let's stand and worship. Lord, we bless you this morning, Father. We come before you and we ask that the eyes of our hearts would be open this morning, God, as we gather together and worship you, Lord. Our mission, our aim is to be with you in your presence this morning, God. So we pray that our hearts would be open, God, that we would see you high and lifted up in the right place, that our posture, our position would be right, that we would be low, you would be high, you would be lifted up this morning, Father. Work in our hearts, Lord, this morning. Whatever we had coming up here this morning, Lord, I pray that you just set it aside. Help us, Lord God, as we come together and just worship you. Worship you this morning, Lord. We sing holy to you this morning, Lord. Holy, Lord. Sing, open the eyes.
And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes one more time.
Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high. Lift it up.
To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Sing, open the eyes.
And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart. Open. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See you high.
See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, you're shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Oh, we sing holy.
I want to see. your name, Lord, the mountains shake and crumble, Lord. Oh, Lord, we believe in your name, Lord. You are worthy to. Lord, you are Lord of all the earth. Hallelujah. At your name,
at your name, the mountains shake and crumble.
At your name, the oceans roar.
At your name, the oceans roar and tumble.
Angels will bow.
At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
At your name, the morning,
at your name. The morning breaks in glory.
It's Lord. Creation sings your story.
At your name. Creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Let's sing that again. Lord of all the earth,
we sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
There is no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. We will praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you. Praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing,
come on.
There is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing.
Lord of all the earth.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
One more time, I want to hear a nice loud Yahweh, come on.
We sing, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
One more time, big Yahweh.
And we sing Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord. We worship your holy name this morning, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. How about a big, nice Yahweh? One, two, three. Yahweh!
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love. Destined to die, and poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one.
He never sinned,
suffered as if he did.
all authority. Come on.
All authority, every victory is yours.
All authority,
all authority, every victory is yours.
We sing Savior.
We sing Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise. For you overcame.
Jesus, awesome.
Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name, for you overcame.
Sing power in him.
And power in him, speaking the Father's plan.
Sending us out, light into this broken.
Sending us out, light in this broken land.
All authority.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise, for you overcame,
Lord, praise the Lord,
and Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your.
Lord, you overcame, Father. And we have all authority. We speak it in your name, Lord. Sing, we will overcome.
And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
Sing it out.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome.
Yes, Lord, we will.
Oh, and we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone.
be seated. I want to say there's nothing that he hasn't overcome, and he's overcome sin and death and every situation. So I'd like us this morning, I'm going to ask John to play for a minute or two, and within your families, proper social distancing, not walking across the room where you've already feel safe, I'd really like you to pray for each other. We're going to have communion later. And just take a moment, whether it's a knuckle sandwich to the person next to you, or whether it's a soft pat on the shoulder. Everyone here is carrying different burdens, perhaps for yourself, but for others. So let's just take a moment. And no, I don't want like a lot of side talk. It's not for fellowship, but just take a couple minutes to pray for each other. Let's do that now. Amen. Let's regather, if we could. Thank you, John. In a few minutes, we're gonna dedicate Paige Aveline, but I wanted to read a scripture to you first, so if I get your attention. This is Psalm 127. Can you hear me out there? You need more volume for me out that way. If I come closer to you, is it better? Better. I'll try to speak up nice and how you hear me, Orion, you hear me okay? Okay, good. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors or toils. For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Would you say that with me? For he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. So whether you got 4, 6, or 8 hours last night, he was giving to you all night long. He was sustaining your life all night long. Every heartbeat was there for you all night long. He goes on and says, behold, remember we talked about behold, it's 1,500 times in the scripture. When you hear the word behold, you're to step back and examine that and look. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord or a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. So Bo's going to come up here in a minute with Katie and Paige. But I wanted to say Psalm 127, the first three verses, three times is the word vain. It's vain. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. So, Bo, where are you? Show me your hand. So, and I'd ask all the fathers, who's building your house? Are you building your house and adding God on it? Or is God Himself building your legacy? I didn't invite him up yet, but there. sit down. So what I want to say is, in our own strength, we're capable of creating Babel. You don't need God to be successful financially and in men's eyes. But if you want to have a house that's really going to last when the storm comes and the wind blows, then it's built upon the rock. And God is building your family, if you see it that way. Men, you should feel a sense of relief with that. All the pressure you feel to provide and do this and do that. We're still called to work and to be labor and be industrious, but it's a big thing. The second thing, unless the Lord guard the city. Now, parents, how many of you know that if you work hard enough, you can protect your children from anything that's going to happen? How many freak out trying to protect them from what might happen? The dangers out there are incredible. I have a 15-year-old granddaughter that's now driving a car. Soon, the freeway beckons, and life goes on, but we can't protect everybody. God guards you. God guards the city. Because otherwise it's in vain for me to lose sleep over what might happen and anxiety and whether it's right to drink coffee now or not right to drink coffee. That was a joke, but it's an old joke. They said coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you. In fact, when I was young, the sun was so good for you, we used to put reflectors under our chin and put baby oil all over our skin so we could really get that burn. Some of you go, what? Yeah, we learn, don't we? And the last one is about sleep. If you're a hard worker and you get up earlier than everybody else and you go to bed later than everybody else, I want to commend you for being diligent. But if you're not sleeping well, unless it's some physiological problem of some kind, it's like when you go to sleep, you're losing control. You're actually entering into a Sabbath rest, and you're entering into this 6-8 hour period of coma, of a comatose, where when you're asleep you're alive, but you're not you don't talk, you don't really hear things, you may dream, you have all these different things, but you're asleep. And it says that he gives to us even in our sleep. So the next time you feel like you can't sleep, say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to go to sleep now. Help me go to sleep. I can't change the things I'm worrying about. I'm going to enter into your rest. And I'm saying all this as parents because we're going to dedicate, this first baby we've dedicated in almost a year. And Bo came up to me about this, but I first have to say, Bo, I have known Bo his entire life. Is that correct? His mother's here, Denise. I have known him since the day he was born. And for that matter, I've known Will his whole life. I remember when the twins were born on December 25th. It was quite a day. And it's hard for me to imagine all these years later that baby that was born on Christmas is this man standing up here to dedicate his daughter. It's an amazing thing. It's a privilege for me to see. And I've very much appreciated Bo over the years. He's been through a lot, and all the way up through the war, and then he and Katie getting married and stuff he went through health-wise, and now God's blessed him in the real estate business. So without further ado, I'd like to get Bo Beardsley up here. Would you come? You can use that mic. Oh, you want to use this one? You can use this one. Is this yours?
That's Katie's.
Okay.
You guys hear me? Good? I don't know what that sleep talk was, because I had about 3 hours, maybe 4 hours last night. But yeah, we actually asked Kevin to do this. Well, we were going to ask Kevin to do this right when COVID happened, so we're a little late on this, but it certainly feels like we were just up here dedicating Chloe. We have another baby due in January, so we'll be right up here in a couple months. Like, what the heck? That was 9 months. No, but Paige Aveline right here in the pink. We got 5 minutes, so we're going to do this quick, but deep and honorable. This is Paige. She was born in an amazing moment of time. So when Katie felt the contractions happening, I was like, okay, cool. And they're like, okay, we should probably head to the hospital. And I jammed to the hospital because Katie, I've been through this with her before, but the way there, I knew it was going to happen. And I was hoping it would happen in my car. I thought that would have been awesome. I just wanted that action, you know? I was like, yes. But we got there to the hospital. We checked her in. I got the car, came back, and the page was literally out of the womb within 20 minutes. And that's been her personality since the day she came out. But I wanted to share a real quick verse that I think is perfect for my little girl here. You got it? You got it? Chris, Chris. Hence the sleep part. So the verse I have for my little girl, Paigey, I think is perfect for both my girls, but especially for Paige. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. And one more time. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. There's three parts of that verse that I love for my little girl. One, first and foremost, that she will be godly, and therefore she will be blessed. And also that she will be surrounded by God's shield. She'll have God's protection. And first and foremost, she'll be filled with the Lord's love. And Paigey, that's for you, sweetheart, that you will be filled with God's love. You'll be blessed because you're godly. And you'll be filled with God's love and his protection all the days of your life. And that goes with her future husband as well. I pray for both my girls, not only their future husbands, but their future in-laws. Because I think praying for their fathers and his fathers and mothers is key for raising good men that's going to be taking my girl's hand in marriage someday. So I'm going to dedicate you, Paigey, to the Lord today, and we're going to pray a blessing over your life. And real quick, I want Katie to just talk about her name real quick and how we came up with it, and then we'll pray.
Okay, so Paige Aveline. Paige means helper, and Aveline means life. And Aveline is actually after my grandma, my mom's mom, and Aveline Pearl Purvis. She is a chain breaker in her family. She was the first female manager at McDonnell Douglas, which is now Boeing. She broke glass ceilings that she was told she'd never be able to break. And being a chain breaker, she now has 4 children, 9 grandchildren. She's 96 years old, and 17 great-grandchildren, and this will be 18. And we all serve and love the Lord. So may that be encouragement to all of you from broken homes and just... She's an amazing heritage for Paige and legacy for Paige to live into. So that is why we named her after my grandmother. And, so we can pray over her and just love this girl so much.
Amen. Can I hurt you? Hi, Paige. Oop. Hold on.
All right, would you extend your hands? Paige Aveline, we dedicate you in the name of Jesus Christ to the purposes of the kingdom of God. We know that you have to make your own choice one day as a young girl, a young handmaiden of the Lord, but we, Lord, before you and these witnesses, dedicate her to the Lord. We pray her out when she goes out, you'd be her front and rear guard. We pray, Lord, as she grows up, that you'll put friends in her life that will encourage her in the right ways for the right decisions, Lord. We pray you use her mind, her gifts for the kingdom of God, Lord. And I pray that she, with her siblings, would be a great blessing for the baby that's coming, Lord, and for Chloe and for their family. We thank you for Paige Aveline, and we commend her and commit her to your perfect will in and through her life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I often say, you know, it's not just the babies we dedicate. We're actually dedicating the parents who have the responsibility to train up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And kids, are you there? If you're a kid, raise your hand. Okay, I just want you to know your parents were hand-picked. Your parents were chosen specifically for you because they're the right ones for you. So I just wanted you to know that. Amen. We're going to have communion shortly, and I wanted to say, I appreciated what Matt said last week about pivoting. And you know in basketball, you have a pivot foot. So you pivot, you can pass here, or you can pass here. Or if you leave your pivot foot, you have one step and you can go to the basket. In life, God brings us to a point of pivoting where our leg is grounded in Christ, but he's giving us choices, pivoting towards something or away from something. And so I, like many, believe that this period of COVID has caused us to think about our lives, what we're doing with our lives, and where we're going with our lives. Years ago, and I've told this story, but it just sticks with me. I was at a convention invited to by my brother to go, of all things, to hear the Temptations. And he worked for this big company, and they was out in Palm Desert and really nice. And he says, you want to go? And so Dudley and I got all decked out, went out there. And then he said, oh, by the way, I told this lady that you're a pastor. And I said, why'd you do that? Because people don't relate to pastors as people. They relate to them as pastors. It's like I was born a pastor. I came out of the womb. Hello, pastor. So this woman comes up to me and she goes, praise God, pastor. How are you doing? She didn't call me by my name. She called me pastor. I said, oh, I'm good. How are you? And she said, well, what do you think God's saying in light of the time that the time's so short? Well, I knew where this one was going. Well, Gog and Magog are lined up in the Middle East. It won't be long before the Antichrist gets shot in the head and it shows up. And going, I mean, everybody's got this thing figured out. And she said, so what's God saying to you? And I said, to love more. Whoosh. Bubble went out. She went, oh, of course we should love more. Always we should love more. In light of that, what is he saying? To love more. And I said to her, look, I know Christians that are millionaires that go around the country and even the world teaching husbands how to love their wives. And the bar is for us to love our enemies. I mean, Jesus said, love our enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. How many have been to a seminar on loving your enemies? I know of no seminar out there right now. Maybe there is, but that's where the bar is. We're to love when we're not loved back. That's called agape love. He said, even unbelievers, if I treat you nicely and you treat me nicely, he's saying, what credit is that to you? We feel pretty good about ourselves if you scratch my back and I scratch yours. The standard with Jesus is so much higher. God's love will change the world. He said, they'll know you are my disciples by your love one for another. In Colossians, it's like a garment. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Do this with your hands, if you will, so you can enter in. A little interact. Just do this. Putting on love. It's like you're wearing love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love is a bond of unity within a congregation, within a family, within a community. It's the perfect bond. Anything short of love is just scotch tape. It's just holding together for a while. In Ephesians, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. Okay, if everybody here is rooted and grounded in something, is it love? If you look at these trees or anything, the roots go down. The only reason they can stand erect is because they go under the ground and they get their grip. So you and I as believers, it's like, what are we rooted in and grounded in? If it's not love, then we're rooted and grounded in something else. And love is not just being a nice guy. It's much deeper than that. It's a decision. It's a choice, because in this life, there's a lot of unlovable things. A lot of things that are hard. And probably at first glance, many of us recoil on certain things. But then we come back. The Holy Spirit helps us to love through and past that. See, love is patient. Raise your hand if you're patient. I'm talking to the right crowd, including myself. Love is kind. It's courteous. It rejoices with the truth. It bears and believes and hopes all things, and it endures. Love is not jealous. If you're jealous about anybody or anything, you have to deal with that. Are you jealous about the popular kid in school? Are you jealous about the other family? It always seems everything goes right for them and nothing goes right for me. That's not love. Love is not easily provoked. When you love somebody and they offend you, you give them the benefit of the doubt to work through the process and try to build reconciliation. Love covers but doesn't cover up a multitude of sins. Love releases grace to our friends and our foes. Corinthians 13 says we have faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is what? Love. And so I'm saying love is defined a lot of different ways. It's a warm puppy dog. Love is a beautiful sunset. People have all these spiritual things, but God is love. God is love. And the love of God dwells in our heart if you're a believer here today. By the way, if you're not a believer today, you can have the love of God in your heart. And if you're a hardcore person that was a believer or struggling, you can return to the love of God. It says that perfect love casts out fear. It's hard to be afraid of something you love. How can you be afraid when you love someone? Because when you love, there's a type of vulnerability that comes in that dynamic. We love because he first loved us. In my letter this week, I used the scripture, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Some people like recognition and some people don't. But we all need it, even if it's not your love language. Since I'm up here, I'm confessing. I'm an affirmation addict. I need it. I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Affirmation. Thank you. Give it. I'm getting affirmation while I'm saying that. Okay, and now all you Clint Eastwoods out there that don't need it, you don't need affirmation. That's a lie. You know it's a lie because you get mad when you don't get the recognition. You know, it's just not coming to you right, but we need affirmation. We've been made that way. I told you in the letter that I had this job to go into management, and I couldn't do it because of it was a commitment in the Lord that I had that would conflict with it. And I had to tell this man that I couldn't do this job I was being promoted in. He looked at me and he said, "You're not going to be anything but a first-class ditch digger. Get out of here." And the funny thing is, the next job I had, I wasn't a very handy construction worker, but I worked for construction and I got a union job digging ditches, which was double my pay with him. I'm first class. I said, at least he said first class. If he had said second class, I wouldn't have made any money. God will speak to you. He uses things to get to you. He lets your feelings get hurt. He lets you be ignored. He lets you be overlooked. He lets somebody else get the credit for your idea. And we deal with that. When it comes to life's accomplishments, all of us have been successful, and all of us have failed at different times. I think all of us really do like affirmation better than critique. But both ends of the spectrum are deceiving. If you get a lot of praise for doing something well, or if you get a lot of blame, they're both imposters. Oz Guinness said in the audience of one, well, let me back up. God not only made you, but placed you and gave you your gender, ethnicity, personality, giftings, and is the final and perfect judge of what matters in life. In the audience of one, he said, we cannot define or decide our own achievements and our own success. It's not for us to say what we have accomplished. It's not for us to pronounce ourselves successful. It's not for us to spell out what our legacy has been. Indeed, it's not for us to even know. Only the Lord can say, only the Lord will tell, only the final well done will show what we've really done. He sees all things, he knows all things. The audience of one. It does mean something to me and to each other when we affirm and bless. I'm not talking about we're to provoke each other to love and good works. We're to encourage each other all the more as the day draws near. We're to be kind and all these things, and we're to interact. So you've got to hear this truth intention. But ultimately, the fear of God's the beginning of wisdom. And as you and I respond to God, we're dealing with him. As you believe that he sees you all the time and in all places, it changes your behavior. Because you can fool me and I can fool you. But none of us fool God. Well, the audience of one, and 2,000 years ago, he decided to have a final Passover meal. Hold on, I'll come out here a little bit. So what does the creator of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who knows all the stars by name, the one that made every one of our DNA, which if you untangle it would go all the way to the moon, who is this God? The unsearchable riches of Christ. And he comes in human form. Human form. And he's with his disciples after 3.5 years. He said, I long to have this meal. And this is the Passover time, because it was the time to offer the lamb, as Israel had done since the day of Exodus, when they got out of Egypt. However, a new covenant was being established. No more bulls and goats and lambs, but the Lamb of God that John the Baptist pointed out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so he looks at his disciples and he said, this is my body given for you. And he told them to eat. That same evening, he had also washed the disciples' feet. And he had given the most amazing message in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, explaining who the Holy Spirit was and what was happening. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If I don't go away, it's not going to work. I have to go away, but I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he'd given them all this information. Then they have this meal, and they're looking at each other. And then he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. After tonight, we're not killing any more goats. after tonight, we're not killing any more bulls. There is no, there's no, not going to be any blood sacrifice because it's my blood, the sinless blood of God himself that's going to atone for your sins. And I am going to be nailed to the cross for you. But that's not the end of it. I'm going to rise from the dead. How many of you know? None of the disciples got it. That's an amazing thing. Most amazing thing in history, and our whole faith depends upon it. So as you come to the table today, there's a couple of things we're supposed to do. Number one, examine your conscience. We're warned not to just have communion like a rite, but to examine our conscience. If there's something inside of you right now, maybe you were mean on the way to church. Maybe you're upset with somebody and you can't work it out. Doesn't mean you work it out now, but the posture of your heart can change this morning. So we have communion in a worthy manner. This brings us back to who we all are, Christians committed to the Lord. So what we have is we have a table back here and we have a table over here. There's two tables. I'm going to ask Pat to play. And if you, for those of you first time, we have condiment cups kind of that no human hands have touched the bread. So, and no human mouth has touched the juice. So it's all hermetically sealed and good, and no one has to worry about that. But if you would, and the only requirement is that you to be a believer, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that you're doing this in memory of him, to honor him and respect him, and asking for his grace to flow in us. This is my body. This is my blood. So let's, John, the worship team's going to play. And so if we can, you guys back here, Matt and all of you, you guys come up first from that side and then you guys start working. And Dave, if you'd get up and help them as they get through it. And let's wait to eat together, okay? We've done this before, so we should be able to do this without a train wreck. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for the bread of life. Thank you for removing our sins, Lord, as far as the east is from the west. good, John. How many? How many almost didn't come because of the rain? Anybody? That's what we need. We need hearty souls. We're called to make disciples of all ethnos, all nations, and we have to be strong enough to endure. I'm glad you all came and didn't let that stop you. As you eat, look. I mean, we're outside. You can look around. You can gawk. You can rubberneck if you want. See who's here, who's not here. But as you eat, we're part of one body. And we need each other. And this is the way God designed us. So let's eat. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless this cup. Our salvation did not come cheaply. It's a free gift to us that we've received by grace through faith. But for you, it cost everything. May we never presume on that, Lord, and may you wash us in your blood today. May we be justified in your blood. May we come confidently before the throne of grace, removing all of our sins as far as the east is from the west. Forgive us our trespasses, just as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let's drink. Let's stand, and Pat's gonna, he told me he's got a really good song. Say, would you ask Pat this question? Pat, do you have a really good song?
I believe so.
Is it a song we can just watch?
No.
They gotta ask. Is it a song we can just, you can't just stare at him. You gotta sing. Sing, sing, sing. All right, Pat, do your amazing.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. You're
compared to this, what a wonderful name it is, the name.
Okay, one more time. One more time, Lindsay. There is power. There's power. One more time. One more time.
There is power.
God, I just pray that what we were just saying, that there's power in your name, Lord. There's power of healing. I pray that you will heal everyone with the virus. Lord, I pray that you will heal my mom.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. It's okay. You can do great things, God. And I pray that you will give us all peace during this really hard time. I pray, I thank you that we're all here together worshiping you, God. And I thank you that we have comfort, that we know that you are always with us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Naomi. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank the men, too, that, I don't know, they're like, I don't know, worker bees. They come up here, come early in the morning and set all this up. And so if you give them a hand taking it down. No, not, I didn't want an applause. I give them a hand to put it down, take it down. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for a hand, not a hand. All right, love you. We're dismissed.